It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing broadcasting throughout the Newark, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Yes, the Nielsen ratings have us consistently in the top 10 in Newark AM radio. Nielsen, of course, is the global measurement and data analytics company. And, of course, that's a testament to you, the great listenership of this show. And I say thank you. Thank you for coming to recognize that week in and week out, we provide great business and important content that could help you and your company get ahead in today's business world. Tonight's guest is certainly going to help anyone out there get ahead in the business world. But, you know, it's radio, so just, you know, got to bear with me, a little bit of suspense here. This radio show, Mind Your Business on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you every single week. We seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders and discuss such a wide range of topics and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, strategic planning. Oh, we're going to talk about that tonight, of course. Marketing and advertising, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Of course, we'll be covering, actually on tonight's show, quite a bit of everything. Again, stay tuned. We're almost going to get to our guest. As I do each week, you just got to be right. Mensch, we begin with some thank you. Special thank you to the great team here at BLMG, Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the show. Srili, Michal, Brocha, Avigail, Miriam, Malka, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Glenn, Matt, Chris, thank you. And of course, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We have a robust YouTube channel. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. We're on all the popular podcasting channels. And tonight's show will be up as a permanent podcast as well. The easiest way to archive every single, to access, not archive, it's archived on the website, but to access every single guest is to go to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. You can access the interviews I've had with Beth Comstock, former vice chair and CMO at GE. What about the interview I had with John Scully, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi? And the list goes on and on. Joseph Abood, Dr. Adrian Boise, the chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic, Dawn Fay of Robert Half. Over 300 guests that I've interviewed to date since we started back in 2015. It's been a great ride, great content, and it's all available for free by going to mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's incredible guest, Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, noted business strategist. He is a popular speaker, has addressed many Fortune 500 companies. He's a sought-after business consultant and strategist. And I've actually had the great opportunity to work alongside him on a number of campaigns. And I said to him, I said, Rabbi, you know, you're one smart guy. Well, let's have a conversation on the air. What are the questions, what are the challenges that businesses are facing, especially today? Let's, you know, keep it in perspective of the pandemic, which, you know, has challenged many businesses beyond in ways that they could have never prepared for and imagined. And let's have conversations about some of the questions that you're dealing with on the front lines and solutions that you've provided and that you're, thank God, seeing great results from. So with that, first of all, Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, thank you so much for joining me here on 77 WABC.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. So maybe, you know, it's an open field here. Jump in perhaps with a particular challenge. Obviously, I'm not expecting you to share anything confidential, of course not, but something that has crossed your desk, the challenge and the solution that you've brought to the table.
Okay, so before I do that, let me just say that, sure, I don't know how many times people, when they come on your show, give you a compliment, but
thank you.
This show is very, very, very widely received. The work of the Bottom Line Marketing Group, as I can attest to myself,
thank you,
is top notch, and just an incredible experience to work with you. You made it sound like working alongside me is an honor. Working alongside you is something really special.
I'm honored.
So I appreciate that very
honored,
much, and it's good we do good work together.
Thank you. Thank you for many years to come.
Thank you. Okay, so as far as challenges, I think I want to start with a very famous Jewish story.
Okay.
There was a famous preacher who was known as the Dubna Magid, Dubna being a town. He was a preacher, very famous preacher from the town. And people would ask him, how do you always have the right story to say when somebody asks you, when you want to explain something, how do you always have the perfect story? So he said, as you can expect, I'll answer you with a story. And the story he answered with was that there was once the king's top, archer came to some small village, and he saw a barn. And the barn was full of perfectly bullseye, perfectly hit targets. And he's like, wow, this is incredible. Every single arrow is hitting the target so exactly. I run the king's entire regiment, and no one that I know can hit so perfectly a bullseye every time. Bring me the guy who does these bullseyes. Maybe I'll bring him to the king. So they bring this little kid to the to the general, to this army officer, and he's like, he does it? Yeah. The officer turns to the kid and says, how in the world do you manage to make a bullseye every time? And the kid answers, it's very simple. I shoot the arrow on the wall of the barn, and then I paint the bullseye around the arrow. So obviously, when instead of going in the order of ABC, you start with C and then go to B and then go to A, it's quite simple to hit a bullseye every time because you're just coming from a different perspective, essentially, doing it differently than people expected you to.
Great parable.
So that was the answer he gave. He said, the reason I always have the right story for everything is because instead of trying to find the story to match, I start with the story and then I find the lesson to match the story.
That's great.
So I've always found this to be the case in business, but especially in the current situation, I found trying to do things in not the usual traditional ABC can be really, really helpful to businesses trying to overcome their challenges or even to start up, essentially to look at things from a different perspective, come from a different angle, and see how they can move their business or business dream forward.
It's such great advice and so important in terms of perspective because, many times people will look at something and then they're stuck. They're like, okay, so almost like a car that gets that runs into the side of the road and gets stuck in the mud, and there's just no way out. But there are solutions. So perhaps now you could give some perspective on that, taking again that great parable, but a challenge and then an out of the box approach to any particular challenge.
Okay, so let's start with an example. Up until now, somebody, for example, is in manufacturing. He would go and he would, for example, go to China or source from China what he needs. He would buy a container load of it. He'd bring it to the United States and then he'd try to sell it. Now, with many different technologies, nothing to do necessarily with the pandemic. I'm using the pandemic to explain how how many people are sort of forced to do what smart people were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
Is don't order a container of stuff. Forget the delays and forget the problems and everyone working slower because of the customs working slower. Everything essentially working in slow motion. But just think in general. If I'm trying to make something work, if I have a company, I'm trying to sell something, I'm trying to make it happen, instead of trying to bring over a container of stuff and then trying to make money on it and hopefully not lose if the container is bad or if whatever reason that might be that things should not work out well, well, what can I do to avoid that whole problem? Is the answer, as an example, a concrete example of something someone could do, is first, the goal when you start a business is not to make money. I know that sounds shocking. The goal, even as far as in this period of the coronavirus is concerned, maybe your goal is not to make money. Maybe your goal is to keep your clients happy or to generate new business. And then once these things pass, and they will pass, hopefully sooner rather than later, then at that point to take advantage of the work you've done at this point to try to make money then. So if you, instead of ordering from China a container and waiting for it to arrive months, if you ordered a smaller amount of goods and had it shipped by ear, which truly did eat into your profit, but ultimately you'd be able to sell goods at cost or cost plus anything would certainly be good,
mm-hmm.
then instead of losing business or instead of risking a large amount of money for something that may end up not working out, what you end up doing first is you end up first having some amount of goods that you can sell further, develop a loyal client base, and then once you have that base, the next step is to figure out, okay, how do I make money off these clients? Do I now order a container from China? Do I source from someplace else? But essentially, especially if you're starting and trying to build a brand and so on and so forth, instead of trying to make money, try to find customers. Try to start with the arrow and then paint the bullseye around it and essentially figure out how to make money as the next step as opposed to from the get-go.
You know, it's such great advice, because if a person, if a company is exclusively focused on a specific goal and they can't figure out how to pull back and say, okay, let me modify my goal under the current circumstances, then they're stuck. But like your example pointed out, if we just, let's say, like, again, your example from China is a great example. So it's true, every company would push back right away on that suggestion and say, well, you know, my it's going to cut into my profits. True, it's going to cut into profits, but you'll make it to the other side. If you're going to dig in, you're stuck. And God forbid, you'll go belly up, you'll go bankrupt. So you have to think differently, like you said, you know, painting the bullseye. My guest is Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, noted business strategist. Before we go to a commercial break, Rabbi, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way to get in touch with me is to email at me at my traditional Gmail old-fashioned address, which is rabbiisamar@gmail.com, spelled R-A-B-B-I. And then my first name, and I want to thank my parents for not giving me a common name, so that it's quite unusual, which is good for me. Rabbi, and then comes Isamar, which is spelled ISSAMAR@gmail.com. And we could talk maybe in the next segment about why that's my email address.
Amazing. Will do. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Inspiration, education, and a dose of fun. That's what takes place at the second Survive and Thrive Summit. Produced by Ramon Ray, the summit is 5 hours of live content with over 20 amazing speakers. Register today at surviveandthrivesummit.com. It's a fresh and all new event experience. Live chat, powerful insights, amazing interviews, all live, and all to help you grow your business. Register now for free at surviveandthrivesummit.com. Are you looking for an event that's not boring, never stale, and is fast-paced? Ramon's Survive and Thrive Summit is for you. Adrian Miller of Adrian's Network said she not only learned at Ramon's event, but also met people during the live and interactive chat. All we need is you. Get more information and join us for free. SurviveandThriveSummit.com.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting SIGN UP to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security. My name is Keita Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luc Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. My special guest this evening is Rabbi Isamar Ginsburg, noted business strategist. Before the break, I asked him just a basic straight-up question. I say, listen, you know, there are people listening and say, hey, you know, this guy's one smart guy. He's a business strategist. I want to get in touch with him. How can I get in touch? So, Rabbi, you shared your Gmail address. Yeah, and then you teased us all. You said, well, I could share a little story why that's the approach I take. So, all right, you're on the air. The floor is yours.
So essentially, I reeled you in, you being famous broadcaster and owner of Bottom Line Marketing Group, an amazing marketer.
Thank you.
Essentially, I reeled you in and your listeners. Now they're waiting throughout the commercial break. What in the world is he going to say next? That's a very important thing to be able to do with your customers.
Suspense.
To keep them hooked. Yeah. To keep them wanting more, to keep that interest like, huh? What's that about? Anyway, most people expect when they hear an email address, especially when it's a company, when it's a consultant, it's a lawyer, whoever it is, they're expecting obviously an address that has after the strudel, which means after the at symbol, they're waiting to hear the company name.
Right.
Now, the truth is that I had a Gmail address for many, many years. My old Gmail address was actually when Gmail first started and needed an invitation to get in. I actually have ginsburg@gmail.com, but over the years it got so much spam that I switched to RabbiIsamar@gmail.com. So I do have my own domain, which is RabbiIsamar.com, as well as other domains for specific projects. But ultimately, when someone emails me and they email me to the domain, it comes to my Gmail anyway, because that's where all the emails come to. So instead of just having a fancy email address that people send to and then it forwards to Gmail, then I respond from Gmail, or keeping track of different domains and who, as you respond, to make sure it's coming back from that domain, and yet they know it could be automated. But instead of dealing with that, I give straight the Gmail address, and if someone's going to ask me why Gmail, well, then I'm engaged in actual conversation, able to provide value, which makes them much more likely to feel comfortable that I actually know what I'm doing. So that's the secret sauce behind just giving a plain RabbiIsamar@gmail.com Gmail address.
Well, explained well. Explained well.
By the way, I did once at an event in front of a large crowd, mm-hmm. I did actually say, and I want to thank my parents for giving me a unique first name.
By the way, before I get to my next question, which is a very important one, perhaps you could just, you know, it's fair, you know, just tease the listenership. What are some of the major companies, maybe Fortune 500, but some of the major companies that you've addressed over the years?
Well, I've spoken for Google. I've consulted for a project for National Geographic. I've consulted and done some work for the Hadassah Hospital System.
Wow.
I actually have an interesting story that I was supposed to speak at Yahoo, and I had an interview in the Christian Science Monitor,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned to the reporter that I was going to be speaking at Yahoo. It went into the article, and somebody at Yahoo got so upset that an article had mentioned, I didn't know it was a secret, but the article had mentioned that I was going to speak there, that they actually pulled that from me.
Hmm.
But,
interesting.
I've consulted and spoken at the biannual conference of the Jewish National Fund.
Very nice. Very nice. Just to name a few.
Consulting for lots of different companies.
Yeah. Just to name a few, as they say. Wow.
Just to name a few, as they say, yes.
Wow. I'm going to, if it's okay, I want to pose a key question because it's something that we, you know, we deal with here at Bottom Line, and it's really how we wind up working together, and it's a key question that's facing, you know, many people out there that are beginning on an initiative, and that is marketing is great. Marketing is basically the fuel, is a necessity for every company in order to scale. That said, there are many times when someone approaches us, they have what we'll call a seed that they could plant in the ground. It's a great concept, but it's a raw concept, and it needs to be fleshed out. It needs to be thought through, and it needs to be challenged as well. So my question to you is, as a business strategist, what's the approach that you take when you're meeting with someone that has to them, it's a brilliant idea, and now, of course, there's an emotional attachment. Let's face it, when someone has, some idea, it's their own baby, and the product or the service may or may not be financially successful out there in the marketplace. Perhaps you can explain what happens when someone approaches you with their baby, their idea that they've thought of for perhaps months, years, and then they bring it to you. What's the approach that you take?
Okay, so first, it's a great question. First of all, everyone thinks, as should be, that their idea is the greatest thing since sliced bread, if not the wheel. And it's really hard to tell somebody that, listen, your idea ain't that hot. And there's many different reasons for this. Obviously, there's emotional attachment. There's also people who come to me and they pay me for my time, and within 60 seconds, I can find that the product they're thinking of inventing already exists and it's sold on Amazon. And they're like, how did you do that? I researched this for months and I couldn't find anything similar, and you're finding me the product actually for sale, which kind of destroys the whole idea. You want to give a person, first of all, you want to let them know, you want to validate their idea that it's a good idea, assuming it actually isn't the worst idea they've ever heard.
Okay.
And then you want to gently guide them from their idea to a version of their idea that can actually work. Sometimes the idea itself as is can work. Usually, as any famous entrepreneur can attest to, from their initial idea to their initial startup to how they pivoted over the years, how they got to a level of success. But it took a lot of work. It wasn't just the initial idea, boom, and we're done. It was actually massaging that idea, finessing that idea, making that idea into something viable. So when someone comes to me with an idea, first of all, thing I want to know after I hear the idea is why they want to do this idea. Do they want to do this idea because they think it's a profitable idea? Or if they had tons of money, would they do this idea because they think it's something that people will find value in and they want to do it? As an example, random example,
mm-hmm.
I once stopped at a truck stop about 20 years ago, mm-hmm. on the highway someplace, probably in the I-95 or the I-87 or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped at the truck stop and I saw them selling stuff for truckers. So they have a hot dog warmer or cooker that plugs into your car lighter. Lots of interesting things that I usually wouldn't come across.
Right.
One of the things I saw there was an alarm clock. And the name of the alarm clock was the Screaming Meanie.
Mm-hmm.
And the tagline of the alarm clock was, "Wakes even the dead." And I bought that alarm clock. Why? Because I sleep really deeply. As you can attest to, I'm not exactly an early to bed, early to rise. I'm more of a late to bed and hopefully early to rise.
Right.
And I felt an alarm clock that could wake the dead could probably wake me too. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is that if somebody knows that an alarm clock that will wake people, will ultimately make people happier, make people be able to do more, and not oversleep flights or whatever they might be oversleeping if they sleep late, God forbid. The point is, if you had tons of money and you thought this was a good idea, you would be developing this idea, even if it wouldn't make you a penny, just to make society a better place. So when someone comes with an idea, what you're really trying to first figure out is, where is this idea coming from? Do you think it's a $1 trillion idea, or do you think it's an idea that's going to change the world, and hopefully they are also going to make money doing it? And I think Elon Musk, as an example, no matter what a person thinks of him, a person is short or long, Tesla or his other ideas, right, it's certainly true that the people who follow him feel that he may be trying to make money, but his ultimate goal is to change the world, and that's the dream they're buying into when they either buy Tesla the car or Tesla the stock.
Right, correct. It's a very important approach that you've shared.
And that's how a business develops fans. Businesses develop fans, and entrepreneurs develop a fan base by doing something and having that sort of excitement that people feel. He's not in this for the money. He's in this to do something good.
Yeah. So true. I've heard that so many times from great people out there. It's true, of course. We're going to say the obvious, that a company exists and has to generate revenue to be financially viable. True. But really, a company exists to solve a pain point in the marketplace. The company exists in order to provide some type of service or a product or service out there that doesn't exist, or maybe your product can or service can be done in a way that provides a better level of service than the previous one. But simply to say, all right, I'm launching this, it's going to make a ton of money, and then you kind of, you know, you don't follow all the mile markers properly and wind up either putting out a second-rate product or cutting corners simply because you want to make money. And in the end, it's definitely not a recipe for long-term success.
Right. So of course, a person starting a company is hoping and doing it, otherwise you would start a nonprofit organization.
Right.
But when a person is doing something to make money, there's still that question of, let me back up a step.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a person will come to me and say, what kind of company should I open? Or do you know of any job opportunity that would be good for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what kind of job are you looking for? And they'll say anything. Well, anything is not a good answer.
Right.
If you tell me, I'm very good at numbers, I want to get a job in accounting, I'm good at computers, I'm good at coding, I'm good at even being a travel agent, even though some would argue being a travel agent is obviously a business that's not
right.
The right business for someone to get into at this point in time in technology.
Right.
But if you come and you say, I can do something better than somebody else, then you give somebody both the awareness of what you can do and try to connect you with an opportunity that might be right for you, as opposed to coming and saying any job, which basically means I want to make money. I don't care if I'm a garbage man or a policeman. Just the bottom line is the check.
Yeah.
People want someone with a passion and a feeling that they can do something, because that means they'll do it better than another, obviously, hopefully, with the goal of making a living doing it.
Right. My guess is Rabbi Issachar Gin.
Let me add to what I said before. When I was a kid in Yeshiva, which is a Jewish day school in Brooklyn, it was this time of year, before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year.
Right.
And they would give us a color, a picture, a stencil, I thought it was before the day of the photocopies.
Right.
With a scale. On one side, essentially, our merits, and one side, our sins. I'm not going to get all too Jewish on you.
Right.
But essentially, the point of the picture was that we want to have more on the merit side. We want the merits to be weighing down because
right.
we did so many mitzvahs, so many good deeds this year.
Right.
We helped so many people stuck on the side of the road, give them a booster, whatever they needed.
Right.
We did so many nice things that we're going to have a good year because we have so many merits to our benefit. Now, when I speak to clients who come to me with an idea, like you just said, a business, what do I do? Where do I go? Is it a good idea? Isn't it a good idea? I say, look, there's two things, the two sides of the scale. Like the Justice Scale by Lady Liberty. That's the kind of scale I'm trying to
mm-hmm.
help your viewers imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So one side is time and one side is money. If you have an unlimited amount of money, and I have clients who come to me and said, money's not the issue. I think the world needs such and such a type of business. Make it happen. We'll figure out how to make money later. And thank God, many of them are making nice money off this business that they opened without knowing exactly how the business would make money.
Right.
When someone comes to me, I'll tell them, look, there's money and there's time. If you want to make this business happen, you think the world needs such a thing, you can make it happen. The more money you throw at it, the less time it'll take. The more time you have, the less money it'll take. You can do it for free. You can just research everything yourself, do it all yourself. You might, your great-grandson might have a little white flowy beard by the time this happens, but you can make it happen without any money at all.
Right.
So based on what a person's idea is and how much money they have to throw at it will also help me decide if, in fact, this is something they should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. My guest is Rabbi Issachar Ginsburg, noted business consultant and strategist. In case you're just tuning in, by Tuesday sometime, the entire episode will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. We're talking about, and really, Rabbi Ginsburg is graciously giving of his time and sharing a lot of perspective for what he normally gets paid a lot of money to do. In fact, Rabbi Ginsburg, how can people get in touch with you?
My email address, as I mentioned earlier, you said maybe new people are joining in. This time I think I'll give my website.
Okay.
It's Rabbi Issachar, RabbiIssachar, so RabbiIssachar.com.
Amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Inspiration, education, and a dose of fun. That's what takes place at the second Survive and Thrive Summit. Produced by Ramon Ray,
The summit is 5 hours of live content with over 20 amazing speakers. Register today at surviveandthrivesummit.com. It's a fresh and all new event experience. Live chat, powerful insights, amazing interviews, all live, and all to help you grow your business. Register now for free at surviveandthrivesummit.com. Are you looking for an event that's not boring, never stale, and is fast-paced? Ramon's Survive and Thrive Summit is for you. Adrian Miller of Adrian's Network said she not only learned at Ramon's event, but also met people during the live and interactive chat. All we need is you. Get more information and join us for free. SurviveandThriveSummit.com.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest is none other than Rabbi Isamar Ginsberg, noted business strategist, who's coming to us over the line because he's in Israel now. And it's actually, I'm not even going to ask him what time it is there because it's a different time zone. But we definitely appreciate the time that he's sharing with us because he's sharing a lot of great business advice that he normally gets and deserves a lot of money. In fact, you know, Rabbi, I'm going to, I don't mean to challenge you, but I'm going to ask a question that I'm sure you get asked probably with every single consulting gig that you get, and that is whatever the fee is for a particular job, and I'm not putting you on the spot, whether it's, you know, $1,000.
No. I actually charge by the hour. I do not charge by the job. That we could talk about a topic, its own segment.
Oh, so, well, you know what? Without getting into the specifics, my question is, how are you, because many people will be able to relate to the question and the answer, and that's why I'm framing it to you. And that is, at the end of the day, let's say you charge by the hour, and you're going to be giving, you know, a strategic direction to a company that wants to be out there and build this, you know, great organization. But they say to themselves, listen, why do I need a consultant? At the end of the day, I have the idea. I have a vision for it. What do I gain? Why should I spend ultimately $5,000-$10,000 with a consultant when I have the idea already in my head?
Okay, so first of all, great, great question. Yes, you're right. People ask all the time that question or versions of it, which another version of that same question is, if you're such a good consultant, why don't you have your own business? Kind of comes from the same place, that I have the idea, and I, you know, what do I need you for? First of all, there are many people who have opened businesses successfully, and they've done the grind, and they've spent 20 years making a business go from zero to hero, really building a very successful business. And then for some unusual reason, when the next business opportunity comes along, or when they're doing something new, or in my case, for example, specific case, I'm thinking of somebody who's a very wealthy man is putting his son into business, but he doesn't want his son in his business. His son is starting his own business, and the father's helping him out. The father's like, listen, when I started, I didn't have the money to hire a consultant, somebody to guide me, somebody to be my partner without having to split the money with him, just be my partner as in be in my ear and guide me properly. Now that I have the money to help you, I don't want you to have to sweat through what I sweated through. Back to the example I gave earlier, the Lady Liberty holding the jail.
Mm-hmm.
If you put more money into something, you'll be able to get where you're going faster because you'll be able to leverage all the experience and knowledge and connections and so on and so forth of the person who's helping you launch.
Yeah. Yep.
But I should add to that that there are many people who are very good at taking an existing business and building it to a whole new level, and that's a very different skill set than somebody who wants to start a business from scratch. And sometimes someone comes to you that they want to start a business, and based on speaking to them and hearing their experiences and what they've done and where their background is and so on and so forth, you may tell them, listen, you would be a great guy to buy a business someplace or buy an online business and then work it using your skills to build it to a much bigger, more profitable business, but you're not the type to start from scratch. Some people have this skill set, some people have that skill set.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, I just a shout-out, one of the guests that we've had on the show in the past was Christine Comerford. She spoke about that at length. You know, the individual who builds it from 1 to 50 is a very different individual who will build it from 100 to 500 and so on and so forth. Yeah, I mean, in terms of employee set, you know, employee base for the company. Perhaps now we could move to a very important topic, and that is managing expectations. At the end of the day, every company exists to solve a pain point in the marketplace, and of course, you know, like should be obvious to everyone, has to turn a profit in order to be successful. Yet at the same time, you know, companies don't become a great success story overnight. Like you said, sometimes it takes 20 years, sometimes 30 years, sometimes it can happen in a year or two. What's your advice to companies out there that they have to be realistic on managing expectations?
Okay, great question. Managing expectations, if you boil it down to its essence, is what does your customer think they're getting versus what did they actually receive? Mm-hmm. This is a famous example that you probably had many guests on your show talk about. For example, when somebody orders pizza from Domino's, I eat kosher, so I've never had Domino's, but from my understanding, when somebody buys a Domino's pizza, they're not expecting, you know, the Fara pizza on Avenue J and East 13th or whatever, the famous store that has lines around the block because people come from all over the place to taste their pizza.
Right.
But when someone orders from Domino's, they're hungry. It's the middle of the night. They just get a pie pizza. Hopefully, I'm assuming it tastes significantly better than the cardboard box it comes in. And that's what they're expecting, and that's what they're paying for.
Right.
And that's so when they get that pizza, their expectation was a warm, cheesy thing that looks something like the ad that they see for Domino's, and with that, they're happy. Right. When your client pays you, they have a specific vision in their head, a specific picture, a specific video playing in their head, which has, I'm paying this, and in exchange for this Benjamin that I'm putting down here, I'm going to be receiving something in exchange. The more you can paint that picture for your clients fairly and properly of what they're going to receive, the happier they will be with what they purchased. So as an example, I fly a lot, or at least I did until recently.
Right.
When you go on an airplane and you buy a ticket, you have an expectation of what you're going to receive for this amount of money. Right. When you're flying a short hop in Europe from one place to another, and you can't take any luggage, and you can't even take a seat without paying extra, you understand that the expectation is I'm going to pay a certain amount of money, and for this money, no matter how much you pay, if it's the last seat on the flight, you may pay a fortune for it. But ultimately, you know that this airline, for this money, is giving me nothing except they're going to get me get from point A to point B.
Right.
And I can usually know on the low-cost airlines, for example, that when you get to the airport that you're going to, you're probably going to have to get off the plane on Spears and take a bus to the airport, because airports charge less for the bus service than they do to pull up the plane to a sleeve to have the people offloaded directly into the airport itself. So essentially, you know you're paying a low price, you're getting a very basic service, and that's fine. But once you start paying more, once you're paying for a full-service flight, and for example, in my case, they tell you, oh, we're sorry, sir, we don't have your kosher meal. I wouldn't expect a kosher meal if I was on a $69 flight from Budapest to Kiev. Right. But when I'm paying for a full-service flight, I expect them to have something kosher for me to eat on that plane, because that's part of the reason I'm on this plane, and I paid for that.
Right, right.
So the managing expectations is something that I think is discussed in concept a whole lot. But essentially, if your customer is paying you a certain amount of money and you over-deliver, what does over-delivery mean? If I'm flying on a low-cost airline and they pull up till the airport and they have a sleeve where the people get it straight into the airport, I'm so happy. I'm so excited in the sense that I feel I got even more value than I was expecting, which means they over-deliver.
Right.
So I think it's something that every business has to think about. How much is my customer paying me? What do they think they're getting for that money? Do they leave disappointed, or do they leave basically happy, or do they leave super excited happy? So therefore, as an example, you asked me before about charging and what people pay for. Mm-hmm. So in my case, I charge by hour. That's a very unusual thing for somebody in my position, because when you charge by job, at least theoretically, you make a whole lot more. But the answer is, whenever you're working with someone based on a project, one of the two people is usually disappointed. Either the person who hired the consultant, who is now paying for something they thought they would get and they're getting less, or the consultant is disappointed because there was this nice little thing called project creep, which means, could you also just do this and also just do that and also just attend this and also give a speech for that, which all sort of comes into that same amount for which the consultants in this case had budgeted a whole lot less time that it would take them, which is how they based their price. So every time I'm giving you a price based on project, they're ultimately estimating how many hours it's going to take for them to do this and giving you a price based on that. And when it's many more hours than they estimated, they're disappointed. Right. So in my case, the system of checks and balances, where a client can say after every hour, if they buy a package of hours, after every hour within that package, did I get value for my money? Did I get too much value for my money? That it gets a little value for my money, and then sort of never feel any sense of they overpaid or they didn't. Essentially, what I'm trying to get to is that it manages expectations very nicely, because at the end of any given session, a person can think to themselves, did I get value? Did I get not enough value? Or did I get value plus? And my goal is always to manage the expectation, as every business should be, and then deliver on that expectation plus.
My guest this evening is Rabbi Issachar Ginsberg, noted business strategist and consultant, sought after by many companies and nonprofits around the world. Rabbi, earlier in the show, you shared with us how people can get in touch with you, whether by email or by website. Perhaps you want to share both this time?
No, I'll share something else. But people need a pen for this, and they have to put it into their phone, so I'm giving them a fair warning. 5-4-3-2-1. You can reach me on WhatsApp, area code. You got to use a country code for this one, but it doesn't matter where in the world you are. And I know your show goes pretty far, not only New York, New Jersey area. It's pretty far. I've gotten nice regards from all over the place, all over the world from your amazing show, Behind the Golden Microphone.
Thank you.
My number to reach me on WhatsApp is plus, which is the country, you know, before the country code, plus 972-52-956-9096.
And if you could please repeat that.
972-52-956-9096.
Amazing. We're going to be back and wrap up the show with Rabbi Issachar Ginsberg. Stay tuned.
Inspiration, education, and a dose of fun. That's what takes place at the second Survive and Thrive Summit. Produced by Ramon Ray, the summit is 5 hours of live content with over 20 amazing speakers. Register today at surviveandthrivesummit.com. It's a fresh and all-new event experience. Live chat, powerful insights, amazing interviews, all live, and all to help you grow your business. Register now for free at surviveandthrivesummit.com. Are you looking for an event that's not boring, never stale, and is fast-paced? Ramon's Survive and Thrive Summit is for you. Adrian Miller of Adrian's Network said she not only learned at Ramon's event, but also met people during the live and interactive chat. All we need
is you. Get more information and join us for free. SurviveAndThriveSummit.com.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Kids, KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Into the home stretch here with Rabbi Isamar Ginsburg, noted business strategist, who, again, as all of our guests...
I got a question for you.
Okay, all right. It's my show, but okay.
You said before you had about 500 guests. Since this is my second time on your show, and actually my third time on WABC,
what?
Did you count me as one guest or as two guests in the 500?
Well, okay, it's in terms of actual show, let me just make sure that, you know, for the record, in terms of actual shows, it's probably around 250 shows. However, guests, many shows, I've interviewed multiple people. So it's been over 500 unique guests into around 250 unique shows. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
All right.
So as far as you, yeah, this is
an honor to be with you.
Yeah, this is our second.
That's how I know the reach of your show, because last time I was on your show,
right?
I remember the regards that I got from all over the place.
Thank you. Yeah, in fact, Peter Shankman. Did you introduce me to him?
I believe I did. Founder of Helper Reporter, a good friend of mine.
That's right. That's right. He was, and what a great guest. In fact, I think it was his line that says, "Every business exists to solve a pain point in the market." But I don't remember if it's exactly the way he said it, but, you know, again, he has such great perspective. But yeah, that was a mutual friend. Even Jeffrey Hazlett, he said he knows you. We've had Jeffrey on a couple of times.
Right. National Speakers Association. Sure.
Yeah. So now I'm intrigued. You said you've been on 77 WABC three times. Twice with me on here on Mind Your Business. When was the other time?
Rush Limbaugh.
No way.
Before you started your show.
No way.
I got to get them to dig up the recording of that one.
Man.
I don't remember what it was about. I remember that I was so excited.
Let's stay away from politics, all right?
Let's stay clear.
Oh, man. So, Rabbi, we have around 5 minutes left to the show. Before I get to my last question, perhaps you could share a recent success story. My last question is going to be a final takeaway, but perhaps you could even share, if you want, it could be a parable. The one you sent from the Dubna Magid was fantastic. A parable, a story, something that you could share from a storytelling vantage point.
Okay, so great question. there was in history a famous rabbi, I believe his name, I'm not in front of me right now, Rabbi Yehuda Lowy, mm-hmm. who lived in Prague. He was very famously known as the Maharal of Prague. Mm-hmm. That was what he was called. And as legend has it, he had created a golem. He had created sort of a, let's call it a pre-robotic robot who would essentially guard the Jewish community and make sure that there were no blood libels, which were very common in those days. And a question I once challenged my audience with was, in an article or something, I challenged them with, did the Golem of Prague exist? Because people say he existed, and he's buried in the old Prague, in the attic of the old Prague synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
But my point was, not did he exist or didn't he exist, my point was that it doesn't matter if he existed or not. What does that mean, it doesn't matter? Well, simply put, if the hooligans and the thugs in the area were scared to make trouble in the Jewish community because they knew there was a Golem of Prague and they knew he can come and choke him and beat him up or whatnot because mm-hmm. he was a big muscled guy if he existed, then ultimately it doesn't matter that if he existed or not, because the point of his existing, which would be to scare the bad guys, was accomplished even if he didn't exist.
True.
So now, when you're trying in your business to educate an audience, whether they are the local thugs, excuse the example, or whether they are whoever they are, people, companies, whatever product you're offering, whatever service you're offering, whatever business you're trying to build, you're really trying to get into their head and market to them to a certain pain point that they have while you are the solution. And the better that you can relay that and convey that, the more powerful you will have built a positioning within your clients' and potential clients' minds, which makes the sale like butter. Easy.
Yep, so true, so true. But, Rabbi, the time flies when we do a show, especially with a great guest like you. We have only approximately 2.5 minutes left. And my final question to you is, what takeaway could you share with, whether it's a business, whether it's a nonprofit, but someone out there who is ambitious, wants to be successful, what's a final takeaway that you could share with the great listenership here on 77 WABC?
Okay, dear great listenership of 77 WABC. That's a great question, Yitzchak. Yes. And my answer to that question is like this. I know this may sound cliche, but people wait for the perfect idea or the perfect opportunity to launch. For example, I had a lifelong dream of having my own synagogue, essentially, my own community synagogue. And I opened my synagogue here in Jerusalem 3 weeks before the coronavirus essentially shut down the entire world, and here in Israel as well as many other places, synagogues as well. There never will be the perfect time to do something because there's always different things going on in the world or locally or with your potential clients or other people having all kind of plans of which you know nothing, which may affect your potential idea or business. You have to take, just like the Supreme Court, they don't sit on cases for 10 years to decide them. They have a certain amount of time that they devote to arguments and a certain amount of time that they devote to thinking about it, researching, whatever it may be, and then they jump in and they do it. They go and they say, okay, based on there's so much an overload of information out there, and there's such pain and paranoia and people have from their past experiences in business or lack of experiences in business that they sort of get frozen and are able to move. You just have to take what you got, take the best shot using the amount of information you were able to put together, do what you honestly feel the right thing to do, and just go for it.
Such important advice. In fact, one of the previous guests we had on the show, Stephen Gaffney, talked about perfectionitis. Some people get stuck on perfectionitis. Can't let that happen. Before I let you go, Rabbi, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I gave you my email address, which is rabbiissamar@gmail.com. I gave you my WhatsApp, which is 972-529-569-096. And I gave you my website, which is rabbiissamar@gmail.com. I guess the only thing that's left for me to do is to tell people if they simply Google my name, Issamar, Issamar, which, as I mentioned, I thank my parents for giving me a very unique first name, they will find me. Issamar, Rabbi Issamar Ginsburg is the way to find me.
Amazing. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
We're all in a rush these days. We're running to meetings, to finish a project. When do we have time to educate ourselves? Enter Business Class, the free daily 60-second video clip featuring advice from C-level executives and business giants such as Beth Comstock, Jeffrey Hazlett, Joe Hart, Shep Hyken, and many more. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. These free 1 minute or shorter business class video clips cover building trust, finance, leadership, marketing, branding, goal setting, among many other primary business topics. Follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips. That's at Business Class Clips on Instagram. Or sign up for our WhatsApp daily broadcast by texting sign up to 718-594-6519 on WhatsApp. Again, text sign up on WhatsApp to 718-594-6519 or follow at Business Class Clips on Instagram to receive your free business class every day from celebrity business leaders. Business Class on Instagram or WhatsApp. Get ready to get ahead.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.